heard to hear a powerful passage of truth, comfort, and challenge from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to turn there with me this morning. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Beginning in verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you join me as we read our prayer of confession? Lord, you showed us true humility by becoming one of us. You loved those who were weak, despised, or cast out.
Yet too often we love those who are strong, respected, or honored.
You freely forgave and healed.
Yet too often we bore grudges and caused pain.
You lived a perfectly holy life.
Yet too often you do not yearn for righteousness.
You were mocked, whipped, and even killed for us.
Yet too often we deny you.
You call us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world.
Yet too often we live into or hide from our culture. Forgive us, Lord, so that we shine with your glory. Amen.
Now receive this assurance of pardon. Hear the good news. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let us pray. Father, to everything there is a season. We come today celebrating the end of summer and the promise of autumn. We thank you for the seasons of our life. We thank you for the respite folks from Forest Hills are finding at Caswell and at other places they have chosen to vacation. We thank you for those of us that are here today being blessed with a staycation and that we can be in Forest Hills to worship you. We thank you for the respite that we can always find in prayer and in worshiping you. We ask now that you bless these gifts, these tithes, and these offerings as we use them to better serve you through Forest Hills. Amen.
Thank you.
As we celebrate Labor Day weekend, I've got to confess that this time of the year always seems to put me in sort of a melancholy mood. You know, as the seasons change from summer to fall and you see all the aisles at the stores packed out with back-to-school supplies, I just get a little wistful about the summer that has now gone by ever so quickly. Because summer's the best season of all. Fall's pretty great. I don't care about the pumpkin spice stuff, but I like that it's not so hot. But nothing beats summer. And usually around Labor Day, when I have a few moments to myself, I sort of take stock of everything I've done and experienced over my previous summer. So on the ride in this morning, I was thinking about all the family trips I was able to take and all the summer evenings I spent in the yard doing work and cutting grass and about all the ankles I broke on my birthday. And really, it's a mixed bag of joyous occasions throughout the summer to think back on. But I was also thinking about another thing I got the chance to do, and that was speak at a summer camp. The last few years, I've had the privilege of speaking for Deep Impact, which is a camp put on by one of our other partners in mission, Baptist On Mission. And it's a week-long summer camp, and this one this past year happened to be down in Red Springs. As someone who used to himself work a summer job for several years, many, many years ago, it's always great to be back around teenagers and church leaders and summer staff as they come together for a week of meaningful service in missions all across our state. It's really amazing if you've never had the chance, or if you haven't had that chance in a long time, to see teenagers doing things that they've never done and realizing for the first time maybe that God has called them to be on mission, not just during summer camps and very specific service days, but each and every day wherever they may be. To see their hearts and minds come to this realization is a powerful thing. But just as powerful is their aha moment when they come to understand why we as Christians go out of our way to do good things for other people. Because, you know, a lot of people do a lot of things for others because of what they hope to get in return for their efforts, right? We all sort of view a lot of things in life as transactional. I'll do this for you so long as I get this in return. A lot of us are motivated by the money that we'll make. They're motivated by how much praise they'll receive or how much pride that they're going to feel deep down inside of themselves. Now, knowing all those competing motivators for why people do just about anything, we have to come back and ask ourselves, what's our motivation? What's our drive as Christians to do good things for others? Well, if you've been at this long enough, you know that it's not money, praise, or pride. No, our motivation comes from a deep, holy desire for others to experience God's great love, especially when they're going through a tough time. When we as Christians dedicate ourselves to doing good for others in order for them to experience God's great love, what we're actually doing is living out the Great Commission. Because good deeds and kind words allow us to meet people and enter into situations through which we can invite others to come and see who Christ is, what he's done for us, and hopefully what he can do for them. That's what it looks like for us to be fully alive in Christ, to put our faith into action through good works that point people towards God's great love. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we reflect on today's scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. And we do so by beginning by adding some context to what we're hearing Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote these words by the power of the Holy Spirit to the church in Ephesus. And as we know, Paul wrote letters to lots of churches for all sorts of reasons. Some he wrote to encourage. A lot of times he also wrote to criticize and correct them too. Since Paul couldn't be everywhere at once, he saw these letters as opportunities to remind each church of their calling and to empower their members to live faithful lives of service to one another and their larger community. In the first three chapters of his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul's providing a roadmap for them to follow that will lead them to living faithful lives of service in God's kingdom. But along the way, Paul's also warning the Ephesians that just as there is a right path to follow, there are lots of wrong paths to follow as well. After all, left to our own devices and desires, we're prone to make bad choices that lead us further and further away from living faithful lives. And what makes matters worse is that even when we're heading in the wrong direction, we somehow convince ourselves that we're doing the right thing and going the right way because we look around and see lots of other people doing the same things and heading in the right direction. Well, friends, all because the road heading in the wrong direction is wide and well-traveled, that doesn't mean that Christ is calling us to make that detour your destiny. Rather, he's calling us to keep our eyes on the path that we were made to follow, because that's the one that'll ultimately lead us to something far better than anything this world has to offer us. When faced with temptations such as these, we need to remember the full witness of Scripture and how time and time again tragedy befell God's people when they strayed from their purpose and chased after their own desires. Instead of trading our triumphs for tragedies, let's remember what Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, where he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." In spite of all the billboards along the wide road promising people that things will get better and better the further they get from God, nothing could be further from the truth. Because with each step we take in the wrong direction, we're moving further and further away from the true source of our purpose and our peace. That's what Paul's trying to tell the Ephesians leading up to today's scripture. He's trying to tell them that the sinful desires of this world won't give us clarity about who we are, what we're meant to do, and where true happiness and peace comes from. Such things only come from living a life of faithful service to God and to others. Jesus says, "Small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Luckily enough, God's made it possible for us to walk this narrow road and to live a life worth living, but we can only walk it by faith. We can only walk it by laying down our lives and believing in God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. For as we hear in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus has made it possible for all of us to walk this narrow road in order to experience the fullness of life right here, right now. But such a life demands our all, because that's what it cost Jesus to give it to us in the first place. Our salvation, our forgiveness, our freedom, it cost him his life. Jesus died so that we could live. And when we walk this narrow road and we live lives of faithful service to God and to others, we can all become fully alive in Christ right here, right now. Now, for those of us who have experienced it firsthand, we know that absolutely nothing compares to being fully alive in Christ. While walking the narrow road and staying focused on our purpose and calling isn't easy, the life it allows us to live is more than we could ever ask for or expect on our own. For as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." In today's scripture, Paul is giving us a glimpse of what it looks like and feels like to be alive in Christ. But in order to experience this fullness of life, we must be willing to share what we've received with others. We must be willing to do good things that point people towards God's great love. With that in mind, here are the two things I really want you to take away from our time reflecting on Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. And the first is this. We need to remember that we're saved by faith and faith alone. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You know, if you ever go on a mission trip, or if you're ever active doing service and outreach projects in your local community, sometimes it's easy to walk away from those opportunities thinking that this is really all that we're meant to do. That following Jesus just means being a good person who does good things for other people. Well, while works serve their purpose and help us to help one another, they're not enough on their own to save us from our sins. Salvation is a gift that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not something that we can earn with good works or right behavior. And because of that, none of us can boast that we're any more deserving of God's grace than anyone else, nor can we think that anyone else is more deserving of God's wrath than us. As Paul reminds us in Romans 3, 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Paul doesn't want us to get it twisted. Good works can't save us. Rather, we are saved by faith in order to do good works for others. That leads us to our second point. We're created and saved in order to do good works. Now, being a Christian isn't all about what you do, right? Rather, it's about what you believe and how those beliefs shape who you are and what you do. For us, we confess that we're shaped by our faith in Christ. And Christ tells us in the pages of Scripture that in order to really follow Him, we've got to share the good news of God's love in meaningful ways with others. Many of us fail to do that, though, because we're uncomfortable with evangelism. Ugh, just a real persnickety word, huh? We're uncomfortable with using our words to speak important truths to others who may not want to hear what we have to say. But what if we expanded our view of evangelism just a little bit and chose instead to live the gospel rather than just share it and speak it? Time and time again, Jesus performed tangible acts of service and love before sharing the gospel message with others. When people were hungry, He fed them. When people were sad, He wept with them. When people were sick, He healed them. Many times, before people will believe the things we have to say, they've got to believe that we really care about who they are as a person. And we can demonstrate that care by doing things for them that make a positive difference in their lives. We love because He first loved us. And by performing acts of service and love, we can demonstrate to people how Christ has changed us and how He can change them. While we can find meaning and purpose in many ways through performing acts of service and love, if we're not taking the opportunity to share our faith and to live it out authentically and as naturally as we can along the way, then our calling will be mistaken for charity and will have failed to point people towards God's great love. We'll have done great things without ever bearing witness to the person who has compelled and created and called us to do these good things and to the person who can help those that we are helping as well. Friends, we've got to remember that each of us has been given unique gifts, skills, and abilities through which we can make a difference in our world. A difference through which lives can be changed both now and forever. But are we willing to use our gifts for that purpose? Are we willing to take risk for Jesus by stepping outside of our comfort zones and pointing people to God's great love? Are we willing to step out on faith so that others can be saved by faith? Today's scripture reminds all of us that we have been saved by faith in order to do good things that point people towards God's great love. It's not just faith. It's certainly not just works. But rather, it's a combination of the two that helps us become fully alive and fully experience who we were created to be and what we are all called to do. So please don't think that all because you don't have the same gifts, skills, or abilities as someone else that you're not fit for service in God's kingdom. You don't have to be as good as anyone else, friends. You just have to be yourself. Because that's who God has created and called you to be. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. And when you depend on His strength rather than your own, great things can happen. As we're reminded in that powerful scripture from Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So are you ready to come alive? Are you ready to help others come alive too? Then now's the time to take your calling seriously. Now's the time to be mindful of all the ways that you can live out the gospel in simple and complex ways each and every day. Friends, we've been saved by faith in order to do good things that point people towards God's great love. So what do you say? Let's get to work. Would you pray with me?